The 100th anniversary of the birth of the 35th President of the United States is 1 week from today. All this week, WBUR is examining John F. Kennedy's legacy in his home state of Massachusetts. Kennedy maintained a close connection during his brief presidency, and it's from this area that he delivered some of his best-known speeches. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks listened back and this morning has this story.
Boston Garden, November 7th, 1960. It's the final day of Senator John F. Kennedy's presidential campaign against Vice President Richard Nixon. The young, charismatic Democrat had been attracting enormous crowds from Los Angeles to New York City. Now, Kennedy was back home, with confetti in his hair and on his jacket. A favorite son delivered his closing argument.
The symbolic feeling of a nation, the image the nation presents to the world, its power, prestige, and direction, all ultimately will come to rest upon the next president of the United States.
A crowd of 22,000 shook the garden. Kennedy mocked Nixon as ill-informed for suggesting that he could ease Cold War tensions with a goodwill trip to Eastern Europe.
The vice president of the United States says that he will go to Eastern Europe if he wins this election. I will go to Washington, D.C.
You know, that was the issue of the day. The Cold War was on everyone's minds.
This is historian Ted Widmer, who grew up in Boston and worked as a speechwriter for President Bill Clinton and is the editor of Listening In, a book about JFK's secret White House recordings. As a candidate, Kennedy talked a lot about jobs and education, but Widmer reminds us that he was also a fierce Cold Warrior.
Matters of war and existential survival were in the air in 1960, and it was a very effective argument.
And part of a hard-nosed political speech at the end of a long campaign. But after his election, Kennedy returned home numerous times to deliver speeches that were both prophetic and profound. The most famous of these, his goodbye address to the Massachusetts legislature, which came 2 months later when he returned to Boston as president-elect.
For 43 years, whether I was in London or in Washington or in the South Pacific or elsewhere, this has been my home. And God willing, wherever I serve, this shall remain my home.
Kennedy famously evoked the memory of John Winthrop and the early settlers of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, as they too, said Kennedy, faced the task of building a new government on a perilous frontier.
We must always consider, he said, that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all peoples are upon us.
It's an incredible speech for a lot of reasons. It's about deep history. This is the beginning of Boston, his hometown.
Again, historian Ted Widmer, who says there are good reasons that the City Upon a Hill speech is so frequently quoted.
It's moving because it's so learned, but it's also very moving if you followed inside Boston politics and a lot of history of WASPs versus Irish, and he's paying homage to the origin of the WASP presence in New England and saying we're all part of this. And it's really a very inclusive speech and a very beautiful one.
The enduring quality of Massachusetts, the common threads woven by the Pilgrim and the Puritan, the fisherman and the farmer, the Yankee and the immigrant, will not be and could not be forgotten in this nation's executive mansion.
Massachusetts was also Kennedy's political base. And in his brief 2.5 years as president, he returned at least twice for Democratic Party fundraisers and was clearly at ease in these settings. Here he is in Boston in 1963, teasing his younger brother, Senator Ted Kennedy.
Came to see me the other day and he said he's really tired of being referred to as the younger brother of the president and being another Kennedy, and it's crowded in Washington, and that he was going to break loose and change his name. He was going out on his own. Instead of being Teddy Kennedy now, he's changing it. It's Teddy Roosevelt. He's running.
Kennedy came back to Massachusetts as well to visit the family base on Cape Cod, where he could sail and indulge his love of the ocean, which inspired another memorable speech, this one at the America's Cup in Newport, Rhode Island.
really don't know why it is that all of us are so committed to the sea.
Kennedy talked seemingly off the cuff about the pull of the ocean.
I think it's because, in addition to the fact that the sea changes and the light changes and ships change, it's because we all came from the sea.
He's just kind of up there meditating, almost.
Again, historian Ted Widmer, who loves this speech because of how unpolitical it is.
He begins that by saying, I'm not sure why we all feel this, which is a pretty unpresidential thing to say, that you don't quite know the answer, and then gives all those striking thoughts about just, you know, the way the ocean looks, how it's always changing. It's almost like a painter more than a politician.
And therefore, we have salt in our blood, in our sweat, in our tears. We are tied to the ocean. And when we go back to the sea, whether it is to sail or to watch it, we are going back from whence we came.
Kennedy wasn't a painter, but he was famously supportive of the arts. So in late October 1963, he went to Amherst College to receive an honorary degree and attend the groundbreaking of the Robert Frost Library. To honor the poet, Kennedy, the most powerful man in the world, talked about how Frost used poetry to keep power in check.
For he saw poetry as the means of saving power from itself. When power leads man towards arrogance, poetry reminds him of his limitations. When power narrows the areas of man's concern, poetry reminds him of the richness and diversity of his existence. When power corrupts, poetry cleanses.
Oh my God, it was an amazing moment because he was a very vivid, young, handsome, engaging figure, and we were very excited.
Ellen Fitzpatrick is a professor of history at UNH and author of Letters to Jackie about the former First Lady. Fitzpatrick was 11 at the time and saw Kennedy later that day. She says the speech has a complicated backstory. Frost had famously read a poem at Kennedy's inauguration. But after Frost visited the Soviet Union, the poet claimed that Khrushchev believed the U.S. was too liberal to fight. Fitzpatrick says Kennedy was deeply offended and never spoke to Frost again.
So here he is at Amherst College, you know, really endorsing this idea of the poet as a critic, as someone who will challenge power. He didn't really like it all that much when he was on the other side of it, but I think this was a kind of reconciliation for him.
It was a stark contrast to that final campaign appearance in Boston, as well as to Kennedy's inaugural address, which offered a full-throated defense of power. So historian Ted Widmer says the speech in Amherst about the limitations of raw power was a profound bookend to his presidency.
That he was only alive a short time after delivering that speech, it just makes it incredibly powerful. It's like a Greek poet looking back at the end of his life.
The address in Amherst was the last major speech Kennedy gave in Massachusetts. 4 weeks later, he was shot dead in Dallas. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.